We've seen markets recover dramatically, but what about the broader economy?
We're still in a cooling trend. I think the economy will continue to grow at a pretty solid pace in the fourth quarter, but some economists are anticipating a fairly dramatic slowdown to start next year once we get past the holidays.
We'll talk about how that's reflected in the new data out today. And the workplace messaging app Slack has a potential buyer, plus a message of gratitude ahead of Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday, November 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. On Twitter this afternoon, President Trump said he has pardoned former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn pleaded guilty in 2017 to lying to the FBI about his contacts with a Russian official in the weeks before Trump's inauguration. He was one of the most senior ex-Trump officials to cooperate in special counsel Robert Mueller's inquiry into Russian interference in the 2016 election and any links it might have to the Trump campaign. Flynn later sought to withdraw his plea, arguing that he'd been set up by the FBI. The proceedings have been under review in federal court. Flynn's attorney didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. In September, she told the judge that she'd asked President Trump not to issue a pardon while the legal process was unfolding. The number of coronavirus deaths linked to nursing homes and other long-term care facilities has now surpassed 100,000, according to a Wall Street Journal tally of data from across the country. Those make up nearly 40% of the more than 260,000 overall U.S. deaths due to the virus. Nursing home industry groups say staff needs more financial aid and support to combat the virus. As cases surge across the nation, President-elect Joe Biden delivered a Thanksgiving address from Wilmington, Delaware today.
We need to remember we're at war with a virus, not with one another, not with each other. This is the moment where we need to steel our spines, redouble our efforts, and recommit ourselves to the fight. Let's remember, we're all in this together.
The CDC has urged Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving and limit gatherings. Airlines say the number of passengers is down by half compared to last year, but nearly 4 million people traveled through airports over the weekend, according to the TSA, making it the most crowded they've been since before the pandemic. We report exclusively that business software company Salesforce is in advanced talks to buy workplace messaging app Slack. The two could reach a deal within days, according to people familiar with the matter. It would be Salesforce's largest acquisition ever. Slack has a market value of more than $17 billion. Slack has also become more mainstream during the pandemic, with millions of people working from home. Shares of Salesforce were down more than 5% on the news. Shares of Slack were up more than 37%. Oil giant ExxonMobil has lowered its outlook on oil prices for much of the next decade. According to internal company documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, the company cut its price expectations by 11% to 17% for each of the next 7 years. Exxon has posted three straight quarterly losses this year for the first time on record. Coming up after the break, what the latest data tells us about the economic recovery. Markets have been booming this week. Yesterday, the Dow closed above 30,000 for the first time ever. But recent economic data paints a mixed picture of the broader economic recovery. On the one hand, weekly jobless claims are rising once again. On the other, consumer spending notched a sixth straight month of growth, albeit at a slower pace. Joining me now to make sense of all the data is Wall Street Journal labor, economics, and policy reporter Eric Morath. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Happy to join you.
So a lot of economic data out this week ahead of Thanksgiving. Let's start with weekly unemployment claims, which rose again last week. What's happening there? Not too long ago, we seemed to be coming down from a bit of a plateau.
Claims rose in consecutive weeks for the first time since July, and that's a fairly concerning signal. We had seen a reduction in the number of people saying that they were newly unemployed and needed assistance. Now that that's edging up, it reaffirms that layoffs remain at historically high levels. They're well down from March, but they're still higher than any point recorded before this year.
Eric, on the other hand, we learned today that Americans are spending more just as we enter the holiday season, but a bit of a mixed message there because consumer sentiment declined this month. Can you make sense of that for us?
It's tricky, but we saw, you know, still strong, although at a slightly slower pace of consumer spending. And generally, consumers have remained willing to spend during this pandemic. That's a reflection of a few things. One, that the government has provided a lot of support to Americans, and that gives people bandwidth to go out and spend. The other is people are sort of shifting around their priorities. So, for example, maybe they're saving less for a vacation. Maybe they haven't had to make a car repair. Maybe they're not paying for childcare. And that's putting them in a position where they can go out and spend, you know, on goods for the holiday season or other things to improve their home. There's a lot of interest in spending, but the fact that consumer sentiment is weakening, that's a concerning sign that, you know, maybe after we get past the holidays that people won't feel as optimistic and may pull back early next year.
So related to that, what about personal income? We've seen hopes diminish in the final months of the year for another stimulus package from the federal government, and some emergency unemployment benefit programs are running out. How are we seeing that play out across the nation?
We had seen a pretty consistent rise in income, which seemed odd at a time when unemployment was at a record high, but that's because those losses of wages were fully made up, and for many people, more than made up by government benefits and stimulus. That's changed. The amount of benefits have fallen, and that's why income now is falling, and they're going to fall more at the end of this year when some emergency unemployment benefits expire completely for millions of Americans unless Congress acts. So, you know, that could be a thing where you're going to see a potentially sharp reversal for something more like 10 million Americans who could be in that boat, where suddenly their income, unless they can find a job, will drop to zero. And that, of course, will constrain their spending.
Shifting gears a bit, we also had a slew of corporate earnings this week. What's the takeaway there?
Corporate profits look pretty good, right? There's certain industries, anything related to, you know, travel or airplane manufacturing is struggling. But broadly, corporate profits have turned around in the second half of the year. And I think that points to, again, what we were discussing, that Americans are finding an ability to spend, and that, you know, companies, you know, maybe feel that they took the hit early on, and now they're rebounding. So it shows, at least from the corporate side of the economy, things are looking much better.
Eric, as usual, a lot of data to parse here, and the tough question. Taken together, what is the overall economic picture this gives us, and what's the expectation heading into the final month of the year?
It shows us that the economic recovery has been stronger than many anticipated this spring at the depths of the shutdowns due to the pandemic. But the data that reflects, you know, the third quarter, like reflects the summer, and the data that reflects October is brighter than the most recent data about layoffs, the most recent data about sentiment, which came in surveys and filings done, you know, this past week or two. So that suggests to me that we're still in a cooling trend. I think the economy will continue to grow at a pretty solid pace in the fourth quarter, but some economists are anticipating a fairly dramatic slowdown to start next year once we get past the holidays.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath. Eric, thank you so much for joining me today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And finally, tomorrow, many Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving. For those that do, it's a day off to feast and give thanks. We all have different things we're grateful for, but this year, one group stands out. First responders and healthcare workers. For nearly 8 months, they've been helping patients on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis. People like Trinity Goodman. When the pandemic started, Trinity was an ICU nurse in Louisville, Kentucky. After her hospital started furloughing staff, she signed up to be a traveling crisis nurse. This year, she's gone from hotspot to hotspot. First New York, then Texas, and now Indiana. She and the other COVID medics are watching as cases surge and deaths mount across the country.
I want people to know, like, right now, we need everyone to be in this together on the same side. But right now, we need to come together as a country and care about our neighbor and not about what's going to make us money. And we need to care about the lives that we're going to lose.
You can hear more of Trinity's pandemic story on our sister podcast, The Journal. It's available on our website or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be off tomorrow observing the holiday, but we'll be back bright and early on Friday morning with a new podcast for you. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.